The following is a presentation of Remnant.
I am reaching from the depths of my soul. Hear me pleading. I'm a child, I'm a poor, I am needing to draw on your virtue believing.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotze, co-pastor of Remnant. Remnant was begun with one goal, to touch people with God's incredible love. My prayer is that this study will comfort you, challenge you, and bring you one step closer to being the person God wants you to be. If this study is helpful or if you need more information, please drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
When I was 8 years old, I came home from school, and my dad had this cool 56 Ford pickup. And my dad was home early, and that didn't make sense for my dad to be home. And there were a bunch of boxes in the back of his truck. And what I didn't know when I walked in, that what I soon found out, was that my dad was leaving. He left my mom and would later divorce her and marry the woman that he was messing around with. So I spent, from my 8 years old time on, in a single-parent home. I knew what it was like to go to father-son banquets with somebody else's dad. I knew what it was like trying to have my mom teach me how to throw a baseball. Not a successful experiment. Later on, I would get married, and the first few years of our marriage, I was not a great husband. I may not be a good one now, I'm not sure, but I think now, it'll be 30 years in September we've been married, so I think she's just sticking with it. That's applause for my wife's patience, I'm sure. I think she just sticks with me now because she doesn't want to break in a new husband. I'm not sure. She's almost got me trained. But my life was affected by this. I was so angry inside. I was just this bitter ball of hurt and anger and I've told people before, I played football because I got a chance to hit people and not get in trouble. You could hit somebody after school and, you know, get paddled by the teacher or the principal or something, or get kicked out of school, but if you hit them on the football field and knocked them out, the coach would run over, patch out the rump, say, hey, good hit, go back and do it again. So I did, and I exercised a lot of anger that way, and I shouldn't have had to. So we're going to talk about this today, and we are going to be plain. I don't know any other way to be. I'm not one of those flowery guys. And when, you know, we try to come up with good titles for our messages, and I Twittered Jeremiah last night and said the title is adultery. Nothing cute, nothing fancy, adultery, because I don't think you can dress this up. I think this is a topic that the church has to be honest about because it touches the church. We've got to be honest about it, and when we talk about it, we've got to talk honestly. Amen? Now, I will tell you that if you're here this morning and this has affected your life in one way or another, you need to know a couple of things. First of all, God is a forgiving God. Amen? And when you say, Jesus, please forgive me, you are forgiven. Now, there may still be things you have to make right, but you're forgiven. Years down the road, my dad and I made our peace. It was still shaky sometimes, but we made our peace. So rather than talk about the sin of adultery, is anybody here not sure it's a sin? Because really, we need to talk if that's the case. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14 says, you shall not commit adultery. There really isn't a whole lot of wiggle room here, is there? And this is one of those places where we give the message, and really, we could just say, all right, let's pray and go home. But we want to apply it. I want to show you some ways that maybe we can guard ourselves. And that's really where the bulk of this message is. I want to give you six ways that you can guard your marriage. And if you're not married yet, you need to write these down, because if it's in God's will, you will be. Folks, we gotta stick to this. Let's pray. God, thanks. You're incredible to us, God, and you love us. God, do something great today. Thanks, Father. Ask it in your name. Amen. When we talk about adultery, we talk about the physical act. We talk about one married person going off and having relations with somebody who's not their spouse. That's what adultery is. The problem is that we think that it's just the physical act. I will tell you that it starts a lot earlier than that. It's a lot sooner than that. You've committed adultery long before you end up in that sleazy motel room, assuming that's where it happened. And the other thing that we need to think about here is we somehow think that sex, because it's so couched in all this, that sex is bad. God invented sex. Everybody said amen. All right. But sex is like fire. Now, I've told you this before. If you know, my wife and our anniversary is coming up, September 12th. We're going away to the mountains the week before. Little fire. That's right, baby. Little fire in the fireplace. Martinelli's. Little Barry White playing in the background. That's right. That's right, baby. Ooh, the sermon just got R-rated. Get that fire in the fireplace, and that is beautiful. You take that fire and put it on the couch. Out of the fireplace, put it on the drapes. Now it's ugly. Now it's destructive. And it's the same way with sex. God intended sex to be between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. And we don't even get into all the other iterations that we can try and come up with, right? It's a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. If you're talking about two teenagers that are not married, now it's damaging. If you're talking about two adults that aren't married, it's damaging. Why? Because it's not the way God intended it to be, and it has all kinds of unintended consequences. Yeah, most of you know I work in the crime scene unit at the sheriff's office. I get calls all the time where somebody got beat up because one person thought another person was cheating on the other person, and you drive away from the call and you think, these people are all nuts. They're all crazy, and they might be. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Reader's Digest did a study a few years ago, and they said that 50% of all husbands and 35% of all wives have committed adultery. 50% of men, 35% of women. That's scary. And yes, it happens in the church. I want to give you some guidelines today, some ways that maybe we can guard ourselves. Look at the first. Commit yourself to God's standards. Regardless of your past or present failures, you can draw a line in the sand and say, today, I'm going to commit myself to God's standards. Whatever happened yesterday. Today is today. From this point on, I'm moving forward. Psalm 119:9 says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. If you follow God's word, your life is not going to get sidetracked by this stuff. Why? Because you're going to keep yourself pure. You're going to make sure that you're where you ought to be. Adultery is never an option. Hello? Got real quiet there, and I thought maybe that might be an amen line. I give you half of my notes. They will say amen. No, I didn't put that there. Adultery is never an option. I don't care how rotten you think your spouse is. I don't care how many bad things you think they're doing or how they don't appreciate you. Suck it up. Now, I went back and forth on this next verse, because this next verse, well, we're grown-ups, okay? Proverbs 5, 15 through 20, and it's not even Song of Solomon. Drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the water of your springs in the streets having sex with just anyone? You should reserve it for yourselves. Never share it with strangers. I personally think that's a good rule. I don't really want you sharing anything with me like that. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an immoral woman or fondle the breasts of a promiscuous woman? Wow. Man. I feel like that should have had like an adults-only banner on it before we read it. But I mean, that's pretty basic. Look, you married her. You married him. Stay with him. Love them. Is everything going to be perfect between you? Doubt very seriously. And if there is, it's because one of you has just given up. We had a couple in our church in Beaumont. They said they'd been married like 50 years, and they'd never had an argument. Well, that just means one of you doesn't have a spine. If my wife and I never argued, that would bother me, because that would mean either she's just given up or I have become her, and I don't think that either one of those is good. Not that she's not a good person, but I don't think she really fits me as a personhood. No, that wouldn't work. It doesn't happen that way. I would not want to be married to me. I don't know why she is. I think everybody makes a mistake once in a while. I happen to be hers, and then she just can't get out of it. I love this. Pastor Rick, there's a lot of stuff going on back there. Pastor Rick Warren said, I got a card one time from a lady in the church. It was suggestive. She's not here at the church anymore, he said. He said, when I get that stuff, I hand it over to my wife. And she answers them back. My grandpa got a phone call. My grandfather used to pastor the Assembly of God Church in El Centro back in the 50s. And he got a lady called him and said, Pastor, I need you to come over to my house. I need some counseling. So my grandpa said, all right. But he felt kind of funny. She hadn't been at the church very long. He felt kind of odd. So he had my grandma go with him. My grandpa was a good-sized guy. My grandma was a little skinny. You ever see Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies? It's my grandma. Looked just like, I kid you not, looked just like her. Acted like her in a lot of ways, too. So my grandpa goes up and he knocks on this lady's door in El Centro. And she opens the door and she's wearing a sheer negligee. Sheer negligee. She was showing all her stuff. I'll slow it down for you. And she said, why, hello, Pastor Brewer. And my grandma stuck her head around and said, hi, how are you? Door shut. She left, never came back. Why would you do that? Well, come to find out, that was kind of her hobby, was trying to get pastors to fall. That's a weird hobby to me, but God's standard says one man, one woman, that's it. Second thing you need to do is magnify the consequences. Remind yourself of the devastation caused by sexual sin. I want you to think about this. And I wrote this on a column a few months ago, actually probably a year ago. And I said, you know, if you really are thinking about taking the plunge and committing adultery, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go in the bathroom and look in the mirror and imagine that speech to your wife or to your husband where you say, well, honey, I've decided to go have sex with someone else. And if that doesn't stop you, imagine saying that to your children. I cannot imagine having that conversation with my boys. Now, my boys are 29 and 25 now. I cannot imagine having that conversation with them. Well, you know, just not being fulfilled, so and found myself a little something on the side. Really? Really, Dad? Really? That's the decision you made, Dad? Really? Imagine watching your children sitting at the dinner table with someone else as their mom or their dad because you're not allowed in that home anymore because you left it. Magnify the consequences. When you're in the middle of everything, and everything looks so good, and you're drawn away, you don't think about the fact that there is a tomorrow coming, and it can be ugly. Proverbs 6:26 says, for a prostitute can be had for a loaf of bread, but another man's wife preys on your very life. Three reasons to be faithful. Number one, because I love Jesus. Number two, I love my wife. Say, you would love your wife or your husband or your kids. I love my kids too much to do that to them. Maybe my wife and I are having it out, but that doesn't mean I can hurt my kids, that I can devastate my children's lives. Number three, I fear the judgment of God. If that doesn't count, number four, that's not in my notes, that I don't want to die. We have guns in our house. Sharp knives. Hebrews 13:4 says marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. And we read it before, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Adultery is basically selfishness. The adulterer says, I don't care how much I hurt my wife or my husband or my kids or my parents or anybody else. I want what I want, and what I want is sexual gratification. And I don't care what happens tomorrow because of it. It's selfishness. It's the ultimate in selfishness. See, I thought as we grew out of that. Remember where you were taught to share your toys in the playground at school? Come on, folks. Magnify the consequences. Think your way through this. Number three, maintain your marriage. The best hedge against adultery is making sure that your marriage is what it ought to be. 1 Corinthians 7:3 says, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. Now, this is talking about the physical aspect of your marriage. The husband should fulfill his duty to his wife. The wife should fulfill her duty. And you're not supposed to look at it like a duty either, by the way. All right, let's see. List of chores. Take out the trash. Wash the car. All right, go to bed. Let's go. Man, you romantic devil, you. God put us together. He wants us to enjoy that aspect of our life, because if we don't, it can get ugly because one of us starts thinking other things. I'm going to give you a list here. This is from a book called His Needs or Her Needs by Dr. Willard Harley. Okay, the first is the five needs of men: sexual fulfillment, recreational companionship, an attractive spouse. I'll just leave that there. Domestic support, which I think is a nice way of saying feed me. And number five, admiration. And all the men looked at that list and said, yeah, you're right. This guy knows what he's talking about. Here's the top five for women: affection, conversation. That's not on the man's list. Honesty and openness. Financial support, family commitment. Look at I've said this before. That guy that wrote men are from Mars, women are from Venus, he's wrong. The planets aren't far enough apart. Look at this. There's not even anything that's remotely the same. And so here you've got this man and this woman, and this man says, here's my top five list. And the woman says, well, here's my top five list, and they don't cross up. What do? See, you need to learn how to love your spouse the way she or he feels love. When I have marriage counseling with couples, I will tell them, okay, write down the five ways you express love to your spouse. And you ever want to do this, this is a great tool. Go to your spouse and ask them to write down five ways they show their love for you. And then you do the same, and then trade lists. Because here's the thing. You show love, more often than not, you show love the way you receive love. You with me? You show love the way you receive love. Because you think that everybody in the world's just like you. And they're not. Praise God. I'm happy not everybody in the world is like me. And trust me, so are you. You know the old story about the older man, the older woman? He goes in and he says, I'm going to make some toast. You want toast? She says, yeah. He comes back out and he makes toast for her. He comes back out and he gives her the heel. And she's had it. She's just tired of this. The heel? Again with the heel? You give me the heel every time. 45 years of marriage, you always keep giving me the heel. I can't take it anymore. You're so selfish. You take all the good bread for yourself and you give me the heel. I don't like the heel and I'm stuck with the heel. And the guy starts crying, and she says, what's wrong with you? He said, the heel is my favorite part. But doesn't that ring true? She thought he's dumping the heel on her, and he says, no, I'm giving you the part I like best. She didn't understand how he showed love. He didn't understand how she received it. You've got to know how your spouse thinks love looks. You've got to talk her love language. And that includes the physical side of your relationship. 1 Corinthians 7:5, do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. They did a scientific study to find out when husbands most wanted to have sex with their wives. And they found out that it is the days that start with the letter T. Tuesday, Thursday, today, tomorrow. Tatters Day. Tun Day. Here's the decision you need to make. The decision you need to make says, if there's going to be a good lover in my spouse's life, it'll be me. If there's somebody that's going to meet their needs, it's going to be me. Mary Alda, the wife of Alan Alda, the actor, said it's easy to leave your spouse. It's hard to leave your best friend. Become your spouse's best friend. When I see husbands and wives who have nothing going on together, when I hear guys talking about their nights out, you know, and I had to leave the wife behind, I had to go have some fun. When did not being around the person you love quit being fun? When did being with your wife quit being fun? There's, and I'm not saying this to look, there's nobody I'd rather be with than my wife. We got a week together in the mountains. We just go and we hang out. We're not going, we're not going to Hawaii or any place exciting. We're just going to the mountains. We're going to hang out because that's what we like to do. We like to be together. Put the top down on the Mustang and drive through the mountains. Just hang out. It's the best thing ever because she's my best friend. Again, now we're about to get to a real tough part of the year because she is my best friend, but she does not like football. And it does cause a strain on our marriage. And I'll tell I'm watching on Sunday afternoons and something come up. Oh, babe, look at this hit. Look at this guy. And she goes, wow, that's good. And I know she's just placating me. Yeah. That's good, honey. If there was nothing going on, she's, oh, that's great, honey. She would not know the difference. But she loves me, and so she feigns interest. Number four, and this is so important, manage your mind. Immorality is a process. There is no such thing as a one-night stand. It happened one night, but it didn't just start. You don't go from being an upright citizen to being an adulterer in 5 minutes. Well, I was walking down the street, and the next thing I knew, come on, you're a liar and your breath stinks. Come on. Look at Matthew 5, 27 and 28. You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Oh my. Now this is mostly aimed at guys because we're very visually oriented. But let me kind of switch this up for you ladies so maybe you get an understanding too. You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a man and thinks, wow, he's a better man than my husband, has already committed adultery. See, for guys, my wife watches Dr. Phil, and I occasionally am in the same room when it happens. And Dr. Phil, I love this line. Dr. Phil said, women need a reason to have sex. Men just need a place. That's kind of crude, but I put it this way once. I said that women are crock pots and men are microwaves. You know, it takes a while to heat the crock pot up. When, you know, dinner's going to be good, but it's going to take a while. Men are like, instant on. Woohoo! I said that in an adult Sunday school class, and next thing I know, Tim is talking to his wife, not my brother Tim, another Tim. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to get this crock pot plugged in. Probably not going to work now. See, here's the thing. You have thoughts, they lead to feelings. Feelings lead to actions. The actions lead to adultery. James 1, 14 and 15 says, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So here are the steps. Step one, you accept the sinful thoughts in your mind. Because here's the thing. Nobody can lie to you like you can lie to you. If you try it, you can justify anything. Can't you? Oh, well, you know, it's not that bad. Oh, you know you're doing wrong, but hey, I'm not as bad as the guy next door. The guy next door is probably saying, well, I'm not as bad, but I'm not as bad as the guy next door. The second step is the emotional, non-physical involvement. You talk about your needs with him or her. Let me tell you something. This is adultery, right here. Because you're giving to somebody other than your spouse that which is just theirs. My wife doesn't need to be talking to some guy at work about her inner feelings. She doesn't need to talk to him about all the things that are going on in her life. I need to be the one she's telling that to. And if I'm not the one who listen to her do that, shame on me. Guys, come on. We're not great at listening, but we got to develop that. Because your wife needs you to know how she feels. She doesn't want you to fix it. She just wants you to listen to it. I have learned that the greatest thing I can do is shut up. First of all, it keeps me from saying stupid things most of the time. Secondly, because my wife doesn't want me to fix anything. She just wants me to hear her hurt. And that's so important to a woman. Guys, we got to learn to do that. Because if we don't, they're going to find it somewhere. Then the third is that physical involvement. Once it happens, it's really hard to break away. It takes everything you have in the grace of God. You become so emotionally attached. And that's, I think this is really where the sexes are different. Because men don't have to become emotionally attached to cheat. Again, women need a reason, men need a place. But women need a reason. Women need an emotional attachment for the most part. And unfortunately, that's not always the case anymore. Now you've got women who are just as big of pigs as guys. Congratulations, ladies. Guess all that liberation really paid off for you. Congratulations, you're pigs just like we are. It's exciting. And then the final step is rationalizing the affair. Well, you know, if it hadn't been for this, I wouldn't have done it. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? See, we rationalize it. Well, if only my husband had paid more attention to me, then I wouldn't have cheated. Or if my wife had been, had a little more excitement in the sack, well, I wouldn't have walked away. Come on. That's just rationalization. That's just a lie in the skin of the truth. You came up with something to make you feel better about the fact that you know you did something wrong. Come on. At least be honest about it. Or the biggest one is, well, you know, I'll do it and God will forgive me. Don't presume on the grace of God. Do not presume on the grace of God. Number five. This has been pretty ugly today, hasn't it? It's all right. Maintain proper relationships. Most affairs occur between close personal friends, co-workers, or family members. Makes sense. That's who you're around most of the time. A lot of it happens with co-workers, which I always wondered, how do you do that? And then you have to, if something breaks off, then you have to see each other every day. Hi, how you doing? Or it's really bad if one of you still wants to have the affair and the other one doesn't. And they come down the hall, hi, how... And they ignore you, then you walk away feeling bad, and you bang your head against the wall, or whatever it is you do to do, I don't know. Wow, that doesn't make sense to me. So how do you maintain proper relationships? How do you keep a friendship from becoming something more? Well, number one, don't listen to a member of the opposite sex tell you about his or her marriage problems. That's just not a good thing. As a pastor, you have to guard yourself against that. Because they will come to you for counsel, but pastors fall. And I made a rule after I almost made a stupid mistake once. In fact, I did make the stupid mistake. I didn't, but I just put myself in a position that could have been construed incorrectly when I was still a youth pastor. My wife called me on it. She was exactly right. From then on, I was never in a room alone with another woman. It's just not going to happen. I don't want to be tempted, and I don't want her to tempt me. Make sense? So when people come for counseling, I made sure the door was open and the secretary was in the building. I would not meet somebody when we had our own church building. I wouldn't meet somebody for counseling if nobody was going to be at the church. I would meet couples, but not a woman. And I tried not to talk to women by themselves anyway. I would tell them to talk to Lynette. She knows more about a woman's feelings and thoughts anyway. I can tell her the guy's point of view. What's the guy's point of view? Well, I'm a pig. At my core, I'm a caveman still. Number two, don't go fishing for compliments. You know, maybe your husband didn't notice that you had your hair cut. Now, see, if you'd had a new fishing lure or a new NASCAR jacket or something, we'd notice. But hair stuff, I don't know. But guys, we need to notice that stuff. If nothing else, take a mental picture of your wife every day. What are you doing? I'm making a mental picture, so if anything changes, I'll know. And by the way, guys, saying, honey, you look a couple pounds heavier, that is not a statement you can make. That's not. Ladies, don't ask us if you don't want to know. Does this make me look fat? Don't ask that question. It's just, because we're supposed to be men of our word. And we can't say, well, honey, you know, it's not the dress, it's your hips. You can't say that. So ladies, just maybe figure out another way. You have mirrors. You look in the mirror and then come ask me. What, like I'm Joe Fashion? Look at me. Honey, do these colors go together? How do I know? I have to ask Lynette what tie goes with what shirt. And it's a white shirt. Guys, you need to tell your wife she looks good. Amen? Because she does. She does. If she doesn't look good to you, she's going to look good to somebody. I'm serious. Ladies, you need to tell your husband he looks good. In fact, husbands, wives, look at you. Look at your, hey, you look good. Go on, do it now. Oh, see? All right. Number three, avoid the prolonged stare. Well, you got to do that because now it can look really creepy. Now you can. Is it not there? Oh, he's distracted. He was giving her a prolonged stare to distract her. It's okay for singles to flirt. If you're single, flirt away. As long as they're Christians. Do we need to have that discussion again? Huh? Well, oh no, I'm gonna date him and then I'll get him saved. No, you won't. No, you won't. This missionary dating idea? No. No. I'm gonna win the lost. How? I'm gonna date him. Does not work that way. Oh, and every time I say that, somebody says, oh, but I know so-and-so, the guy. Yeah, okay. That's one. Now, I'll give you my list of like 4,000 that I've seen that went down the toilet. See, if you're talking about a non-Christian person, their values, goals, and motivations are supposed to be different than yours if you're a Christian. So what do you have that lines up? You don't. And unfortunately, what happens is when you date a non-Christian, you end up finding out that they want you to come their way. It's easier for them to pull you down than you to lift them up. Amen? So don't do it. If you don't want to lead them to Christ, bring them a remnant. And like my cousin said one time, check their fruits. What? Yeah, because it took me about... She said, no, you got to check their fruits. I said, all right, Julie. Now, what does that mean? She said, and then she was right, and then I felt really bad because she was right, because it didn't happen very often. She said, check out the fruit of the Spirit. If they got the fruit of the Spirit, wow, that was profound, especially for Julie. And then number four, avoid a lingering touch. Don't be touching people. We give those holy hugs. Oh, oh. When I was a youth pastor, after real emotional services at camp, we'd always have to run around breaking up hugs. Oh, I'm praying for it. No, you're not. Go away. The Bible may talk about moaning in the spirit, but that's not what that was. It's all summed up in Ephesians 5:3, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's people. See, no hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, and really, isn't adultery a form of greed? You have something, but you want more of something that somebody else has? That's just greed. It doesn't belong in the Christian life, guys. Finally, number 6, minimize the opportunity. I have a profound scriptural enlightenment here for you. Look at the next one. If you don't want to get stung, stay away from the bees. Let's say you know you're attracted to somebody at work. Here's a hint. Stay away from them. Wow. Jerry, did you think of that on your own? Yep. See, because if you don't put yourself in a position to sin, hey, it cuts down on your chance of sinning. Thank you, thank you. I'll be here all week. I mean, doesn't that make sense? Doesn't it make sense? Minimize your opportunity. And then whatever it's at. Let's say it's not adultery. Let's say that your problem is drinking. Well, I think they pretty well tell alcoholics, hey, once you're clean and sober, maybe you shouldn't go to the bars anymore. Because that's where the alcohol is. They ask the bank robber, why do you rob banks? He said, because that's where the money is. I guess that makes sense. See, because everybody looks good at work. They're dressed up. Not at my work necessarily, but some people's work, they're all dressed up. See, you've got to be careful, because you see your wife and your husband in their worst. Wives, you have to look at your husband and walk down the hall in his chonies. You know, sitting there watching TV with a Diet Coke in one hand and bag of Doritos in the other, hoping that they balance out, you know. But you see that guy at work, he's dressed in a nice suit, and you think, why can my husband dress like that? Well, I guarantee you, when that guy goes home, he's got Diet Coke and Doritos watching a ball game. And his wife says, why can't he dress up? Nah. Minimize your opportunity. Make sure that you don't put yourself in a place where you can be compromised. Guys, this is all so basic. But it's what we need to be reminded of all the time. Because I got to be honest with you, it tears my heart out when I hear of homes breaking up. And again, not here to cast guilt on anybody. I'm just saying we as Christians got to clean up our acts. I'm just saying that maybe we need to pay attention to the fact that judgment begins with the house of God. And if we want to model the Christian life, that means we've got to be pure. And that means we've got to be pure in every aspect of our lives. We've got to show the world what purity looks like. Amen? So when we started this whole series on the Ten Commandments, we said, hey, some of this is going to get tight. Some of this is going to get uncomfortable. Because the Ten Commandments do matter every day, don't they? The Ten Commandments do matter in our lives every day, and we kind of pass them off as, well, I learned that in Sunday school. Anybody here not find a place of this that hits them somewhere? That's what the Ten Commandments are all about, guys. It's part of us. It's part of living for God. I am reaching
from the depths of my soul. Hear me pleading. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.